your friends, enemies, frenemies, and everything in between. Welcome back to another episode of Frenemies. Today, I'm talking about the fourth quarter. Let's be honest, Q4 is just a few weeks away, and in 2023, we're all a bit in a difficult situation in B2B. So just a bit of fact-checking to begin with. This year, 57% of sales reps missed their quota. Obviously, the sales cycles have become way longer. The buying committees are bigger. Companies cut their budgets. So in marketing, we have way less budget to play around with and to drive awareness and capture demand. And of course, also less software is getting purchased. Puts us all in a difficult position for the fourth quarter. So what I want to talk about today is how initiatives that you can implement to generate more revenue in Q4 and try to hit your targets or come as close to your targets as possible. But also, let's stay realistic. None of the initiatives I'm suggesting here are magic tricks, because there are no magic tricks. So if you're expecting to get initiatives that don't cost anything and make all your problems go away, you unfortunately won't get that here. Let's get into the real things that actually create impact and value. So the situation I just described, longer sales cycles, bigger buying committees, and so on, of course, leads to a lot of difficulties we all are facing, both in sales, marketing, product, company-wide. Firstly, of course, there is a high pressure on sales that they have to convert their pipeline and turn everything into a closed one. There is an insane pressure in this year on customer success because a lot of companies have relied on upselling and cross-selling and making more revenue of their existing customers instead of trying to acquire new customers, which of course is a very smart strategy. But also your existing customers have certain limits, purchase less, and also don't always upgrade or implement more of your solutions. And of course, there's also a high expectation on marketing to generate more leads, and that most of the times with less budget. And as I've often experienced, especially the fourth quarter is a time when leadership can focus on the quantity instead of the quality. So all of a sudden, leadership pressures every department to go with a spray and pray approach. As I said, in marketing, just generate a lot of leads and all of a sudden try to capture more demand or do more lead gen activities. So the numbers look fine and it looks like everything is going up, which of course is really problematic because in the end, it doesn't change anything, right? So in sales, the conversion rates won't magically increase just because we need to generate more revenue. And as I already said, in all of 2023, upselling and cross-selling has already been such a big focus for a lot of companies that customers face these problems because, of course, all of the solutions that they already have are trying to get them to a bigger or a higher pricing package to adapt more of the products and solutions within and so on. And in marketing, focusing on demand capture is only effective if there is already demand for your specific product or your direct competitors. Just a reminder, 83% of B2B buyers purchased a product they already knew beforehand, before they started their buyer's journey, their research process, before they became problem aware and solution aware. So that, of course, also means if there is already demand for your competitors, it is still really, really difficult for you to capture this demand and actually win these buyers over. Challenging situation. So what can you do? Contrary to the spray and pray method, my overall advice is double down. The fourth quarter is a time where you need to get super focused across departments in your activities, the tasks you prioritize, and of course, where you put your spending. So get super focused to increase the efficiency in everything you do and the impact your activities drive. Spend your investments on activities that actually create impact and prioritize the tasks and initiatives that provide value. And that means at like bottom funnel. So what activities actually bring customers in and not just leads. So it looks like marketing has done their job. So what are these things? I don't think you're going to be surprised, but my first initiative is, of course, sales and marketing alignment. If you're not there yet, the fourth quarter is a fantastic time to get started on the sales and marketing alignment, because also, let's be honest, you can try to impact the fourth quarter a lot, but most likely the sales cycles you're facing, there is a limited amount of impact you can create based on the leads that have already been generated. So everything you do in the fourth quarter will ultimately benefit you in the next year. So it's also a great time to get started on a lot of things that normally don't get prioritized. And it can be really difficult to get these approved because leadership might put a focus in another spot and might want you to focus on things that seem to drive a lot of value, but actually don't provide value in terms of actually generate revenue. So trying to focus on these things that are absolutely necessary also for the next year is really important. And that's also a difficulty with the fourth quarter, because we all, at least as leaders, we are all in the spot where you try to finish the year off on a good note and try to come to your targets as close as possible. Get aligned with the expectations that were set for your department. But at the same time, you're already making the plans for the next year. So it is a really good time to also invest in research, talking to your customers, sales and marketing alignment, and all of these things, because that will benefit you in the next year. And if you first started in the first quarter of 2024, when you most likely already didn't hit targets in the fourth quarter, it is a difficult spot because the expectations are going to be even higher. So sales and marketing alignment. Why is it so important in the fourth quarter? Well, first of all, you can analyze how you can drive deals in the pipeline together so that actually you set up sales for the success to be able to increase conversion rates and to convert more of the existing pipeline into customers. And with that, of course, comes hand in hand content. Is there enough buyer engagement content? What are the questions that sales reps often get asked in from prospects they're speaking with? Also, of course, the tools. Do you have all of the tools to gather this data, to analyze these numbers and to have a proper understanding of what content actually drives value? And obviously then create more of that content that buyers need, because that also means that you will have more educated buyers, meaning sellers will have to spend less time explaining your solution and driving this dialogue. So of course, also free demos, demo tours, product tours, all of these things. It's something that a lot of times does take a lot of time to do right, but is really, really important because it brings more educated buyers. So it's a really good time to start creating these things and getting them out. Doubling down on your ICP. So I, of course, would hope that you have already a very well-defined ICP, but the fourth quarter is a really great time to make your ICP more focused. So instead of trying to hit everyone that is within your ICP, focus on one specific segment, on one specific industry, and personalize your campaigns towards that specific segment, let's say small, medium-sized businesses or a specific industry. That will make all your initiatives more focused, more relevant for your ICP and the target audience. And additionally, it will also make the sales approach more focused so that everybody is providing the relevancy that buyers need and expect. And then that, of course, also convert better. I just mentioned already, like small, medium-sized businesses. A lot of companies tend to focus in the fourth quarter on reaching small, medium-sized businesses, because the idea is that they have a shorter sales cycle because less stakeholders are involved. And while I generally agree with that assumption, it is still important to keep in mind that they also are quite limited in their budgets and in investments they can drive. So I would be careful with that. But obviously, it is a good segment to focus on because the odds of driving or closing a lot of enterprise deals in the fourth quarter, if they haven't already engaged with your brand, your company, is limited. So of course the SMB space can be a really interesting one, or a mid segment space, but that of course also depends very much on your company, your targets, and so on. And then, of course, I'm going to name it here, ABM. The fourth quarter is a really great time to also double down on who you want to reach out to and who you're targeting. So creating a target account list together with your sales team. So marketing and sales together, and creating specific campaigns for these accounts is a really good initiative to drive in the fourth quarter. First of all, again, it aligns both departments. Everybody is reaching for the same goal. Secondly, it is a great priority to have, so sales knows who to prioritize on, and you can test a lot of things. And it gives you this focus to, and again, provides this personalization and relevancy that buyers expect. So if you haven't started an ABM motion, I would suggest starting an ABM light motion in the fourth quarter, meaning you don't have to dive in and be super focused, create 100 landing pages for each account and so on. But getting that account list right based on your ICP, and then creating a campaign that is more focused on these accounts, so creating industry sections or whatever within these accounts, based on their like shared traits that make them targeted accounts, is really helpful because it is more impactful for them. You might not be able to close them in the fourth quarter, but there might be some of them that you can close. And else, again, it is something that you will benefit from in the first quarter of 2024 or in the second quarter. So it is building also your future success, which it is really important to do. You can't only focus on activities that impact the fourth quarter, because again, sales cycles are long. So all you can do is also just try to set yourself up and your company and your marketing and sales and everything for future success. Within sales specifically, one thing that often falls under the table in my experience is reaching out to previous prospects or customers. So any seller, of course, is in contact with a lot of customers and a lot of prospects. Not all of them end up buying, but it's a great way to reach out to those. Most of them probably have changed jobs since you have been in contact with them the last time. They might have progressed. So if they were already a stakeholder or a key decision maker at the last job they had, then they're also most likely at the new company. So it is a great way to reach out to someone you already have a trust relationship with, who obviously still knows your product really well and who might be more drawn to purchase the product in the new company. So that's definitely something I would sell as advice to get into. Then, of course, investing your time in prospecting. Prospecting is a really, really tough process, and I completely understand that, even though I'm not a seller myself. But prospecting is really important. It's a step that can't be jumped over or ignored. So investing your time in prospecting, again, sets you up for future success and also ensures that you have enough consistently coming into your pipeline. And another thing for sales and sellers in specific is, of course, adopting technology to get more efficient. Obviously, AI is a part of that, but it's also other tools. So in 2023, LinkedIn made a study on what makes sellers successful and what are factors that that make somebody a top seller. And adopting new technologies was one of these like key factors that makes a seller a top performer. So sellers that adopt new technologies, such as sales intelligence tools, of course, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, but there's also lots of other tools, prospecting tools, AI tools, personalization tools, sales enablement tools, all of these things makes sellers firstly more efficient because they cut down the things that they otherwise would have to do manually and can automate them, giving them more time to focus on revenue impacting activities. And of course, at the end of the day, focusing more on the one-on-one contact with prospects, which is a really important part. And then now with initiatives for marketing. Firstly, of course, in alignment with customer success, customer marketing. So initiatives that turn customers into ambassadors. I mean, everybody buys from people, and recommendations both in the B2C and B2B space are obviously really important. We as humans trust people more than we trust information we just read. And obviously also we trust a recommendation more when we hear it from someone we know in person instead of reading a customer case in an ad. So some initiatives or some activities that can help to actually make the most of your hopefully very happy and satisfied customers is, for example, having customer roundtables. So get like your high-level prospects that, you know, have great potential, they are interested and are considering to buy your solution, get them together at a roundtable session with existing customers. And obviously make it a very interesting topic, but that gives them an like valuable learning experience because they can learn from peers. But of course, it also gives them the possibility to ask questions about their experience with your product, what they like about the product. And if your customers are really happy, then they will mostly have only good things to say. They might also have some critical things to say. And that is completely fine because your prospects will need to overcome objections anyway. So them knowing and having a realistic understanding what are limitations is really important. Also, this can, of course, influence your product development. So everybody benefits from that at the end of the day. Also, focusing on user-generated content can be really helpful. So offer your customers and the people that use your solution. So I wouldn't say the key decision makers at your customers, but the people that work with your solution every single day, offer them the chance to write a blog post about something related, about a topic that they're passionate about. And with that, you not only get really great content that is interesting for your target audience and your ICP, but you also increase your reach and visibility of that content. So of course, it's great content you can use on social media. If the customer is happy with it, they can record, of course, a summary of the blog post in a video format. So you can also use that in ads and to promote the content and distribute it. And as they have written that content, they are most likely also very happy to share it in their own network. So that gives you a high reach for basically no investment. So that is a really great initiative to create valuable content and increase your reach, increase your brand awareness, and maybe also actually even capture demand if that hits the right people. And lastly, referral programs. What I'm meaning with referral programs, I mean, we all know what a referral program is, but of course it can be helpful to ask your customers. And again, of course, this needs to happen together with the customer success team. But of course, it can be helpful to ask customers if they have anybody in their network they would like to suggest your solution to, or send an email to, and send a personal recommendation. And basically, if you want to do it in a light version and not as a global program, all it takes is a well-written email template that you send to your happiest customers that hopefully have a brand name that stands out and people are very aware of. And then, a gift card, or you can even offer one of your features for free, or give them an upgrade for free in return for sending out recommendations. Of course, that doesn't even have to be an email. It can also be sharing contacts of people that your sellers can reach out to. Just be aware of kind of the GDPR aspect of that, if this is the setup you're running with. But asking for a recommendation or asking for contacts normally never hurts, as long as you ask the right people. Another thing for marketing is, of course, focusing on problem and solution awareness. So whatever activities you do, I would suggest mainly focusing on what are the activities and content that drive solution and problem awareness. Because if you're already at the stage where you are communicating problem and that and the existence of your solution, you're of course in the demand creation part, but that at least drives you closer to the demand capture part. So that is one of the things, and that of course involves content, which can also basically be SEO-focused content, meaning it doesn't need to involve a budget, because with that content, you might be gaining visibility when your ICP is looking for solutions and is starting the buying process and their buyer's journey, researching how they can solve the problems they are facing. Intent data is obviously also a big point. So if you want to focus, or you need to focus on capturing more demand, but you don't know where that demand is, or you are in a very competitive industry, because I mean, who isn't in this here? Then of course, investing in intent data can be a really great way to see where that demand is and trying to reach exactly these people. The problem with demand data is that intent data is that it's often very costly, and depending where you purchase it from, it can also be very broad and not very precise. So of course, the review platforms, G2, TrustRadius, they have their own intent data. But again, it might be limited due to your own solution and the demand that exists for your own product and your industry. And it is also really costly, so I would maybe limit it there. But on LinkedIn, it's definitely a great way. And there are, of course, lots of others where you can also purchase more intent data and get insights into who is researching your competitors. If you don't have the possibility to invest in intent data, then you can also do the research on your own and basically go to the LinkedIn pages of your competitors and check what people are engaging with their content. And either target these people, put them in specific target lists, or have sellers reach out to these people. But you know, there are shortcuts you can take to try to capture demand that exists for solutions similar to yours. And then finding lookalike companies to target. So again, of course, reaching back to your ICP and really focusing on basically the customers that get the most value of your solution. Trying to determine what are the shared traits between these customers, and then trying to find companies that share these traits and target these specifically for your campaigns. As I already said, most likely your budget has been cut a lot this year, and most likely you don't have as much leftover budget now for the fourth quarter as we in marketing maybe had in the past years. So it is a time where we are very challenged, and therefore the existing budget needs to be spent on activities that have the highest probability of turning into revenue and actually moving the needle. So again, doubling down and focusing on these things is really, really important, so you actually create impact. And the last point, and that is what I mentioned before, research and analysis. The fourth quarter is a really good time to do a lot of this research to actually make a great strategy and start the first quarter of the next year off on a successful note with initiatives that actually drive impact and set you up for success for the new financial year. So some of these initiatives is obviously talking to customers and doing customer research. So figuring out what they like about your solution, what they don't like about your solution, how it has impacted their work lives, the problems it has solved. Also maybe what problems do they see hasn't been solved? Or what are things they might not be aware of? Because that can uncover a lot of things that you're not communicating yet, not only throughout the buyer's journey, but also through the customer lifecycle. So is onboarding training, is the adoption rate there? Talking to lost deals. So of course that can be discussed if this is a marketing initiative or a sales initiative, but somebody should definitely have a conversation with prospects that didn't sign a deal and didn't sign up to be a customer, to understand why did they make this decision and was there anything that could have been better? Because if they decided against, the chances are obviously high that other prospects might do so as well. So uncovering this can be really helpful for both sales and marketing departments, and of course also others such as product customer success, to understand what can be optimized. And optimizing these things early on can of course, again, help you to set you up for success. Researching the ICP to really have a clear understanding what is kind of the broader ICP, and then what is a targeted ICP of these are the people or the companies that have most success with our product, who have the highest adoption rate, to then figure out, so how can we expand that? So where do we find these, small spot of ICP? Is that in different markets? Is that in a specific industry we need to focus on to impact that? And then, of course, analyzing the buying process. So where in the buying process is it where you stand out, where you are missing things, which can be content, it can be platforms or channels you're currently not present on, that your target audience is active on. So for example, checking out, are there Reddit groups where your product gets discussed and you're not there as a company to kind of help this discussion? So is that, for example, something that should be happening? And of course, that can also include competitor analysis and seeing, okay, where are your competitors most successful? That doesn't always mean that you should go exactly where your competition is, but it can give you a good understanding of where they might be finding customers and where there can be a high potential for you as well. Lastly, some initiatives for the product department. If you haven't done so already, I mean, as I already mentioned, free ungated demo tours and product tours are a great way to engage and educate your buyers. And that is, of course, an initiative that should be driven together with the product department. But the implementation of free trials or a freemium version, and then also a self-assisted sign-up, can be really helpful to actually enable scalability and to make the buying process easier and the sign-up process easier to scale up in the fourth quarter. Obviously, a lot of times these are initiatives you can't just drive within weeks. But these can be really, really important initiatives to drive the scalability and make it as easy as possible. So again, it's one of these things that can be great to focus on in the fourth quarter to impact the outcome of the fourth quarter, and then set Q1 off on a strong note already. And then for customer success, also research and analysis and focusing on what needs to be optimized. So for example, the optimization of the onboarding and the training process of new customers. Is there anything you're missing there? Because again, if it is content, if it is engaging videos, training videos, it can also be follow-ups. It can also be tools missing. all of this needs to be analyzed so you have a smoother process there and actually create more happy, more loyal customers. Analyzing the product adoption. So where is the adoption rate at within your customers? Which of course is closely connected to the onboarding and training process. But that is, of course, a very important point, because also next year there is going to be a strong focus on upselling and cross-selling. So customer success also having a high quota to hit and a lot more revenue to generate in comparison to previous years. And then another thing is, of course, the sales to customer success handover. So how is this handover happening right now? Is there enough alignment between the sales team and the customer success team? And how can that be optimized so customers have a great experience from the get-go? Because, of course, happy customers build returning revenue and build future revenue. So you want to make sure to have happy customers. So these are my initiatives I suggest to set your fourth quarter off for success and hopefully hitting your targets or getting as close to your targets and quota as possible. So just to wrap up, double down and get super focused. Instead of spray and pray, as difficult as it might seem, please focus on what makes sense and what actually is generating revenue across departments. And then use the first weeks of the first quarter to really dig into your data and analyze what are the activities where you see a return. What are the things you should invest in? So you have a clear understanding of what needs to happen more of in the next year. And with that, thanks for listening today.